So our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. This is where Jesus is telling many parables. And as you think about this, these parables, think of the two sides of the story. That is the person looking for what's lost, and also the person that's lost. One of the parables includes the lost sheep. And the shepherd finds the sheep, puts it over his shoulders, and carries him back because that sheep is terrified and almost paralyzed with fear. So there's that side of the parable as well as the one looking for the lost. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and the legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Celebrate with me. I found my lost sheep.' In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. Or what woman, if she owns 10 silver coins and loses one of them, won't light a lamp and sweep the house, searching her home carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Celebrate with me, because I've found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, joy breaks out in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who changes both heart and life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
One day the pastor shuffled through the church mail one afternoon before he settled in to write his sermon for that Sunday. Electric bill, gas bill, water bill, church tithe, advertisement for this, that, and the other, and then an envelope with a child's handwriting addressed to the pastor. Curious, he opened the envelope and he pulled out the enclosed letter, and it read, "Dear Pastor, I think a lot more people would come to church if you moved it to Disneyland. Love, Laureen, age 9. Welcome to worship, beloved church. We are in the second of 4 weeks of a sermon series I'm calling, 'What's the Deal with Church Anyway?' We're exploring the role that the church plays in our lives and the roles that we ourselves play in the life of the church. Last week, we talked about the inspiration that we receive, where it comes from, and what we do when we lose that inspiration. I reminded us to return to our basics, to get out of our rut, and to stay connected. I'd like to take time today to further emphasize the importance of staying connected with our community. The setting for today's parable describes two groups: tax collectors and sinners, and Pharisees and scribes. The latter group is grumbling or muttering that Jesus, quote, welcomes sinners and eats with them. By telling these parables, Jesus reemphasizes that the accusation that he eats with sinners is, in fact, no accusation at all. It is, in fact, a very true statement, which is at the heart of Jesus' ministry. As Luke narrates it, Jesus' purpose in this setting is to show the Pharisees and the scribes that they too should listen to this parable and thus welcome sinners to the table. Both scenes of the parable, the man who has 100 sheep and the woman who has 10 coins, have much in common. The format is the same. The person notices that something is gone. They notice that something is gone. They sacrifice time and energy to pursue and find what is lost. And they restore what is lost to its rightful place. And then rejoice with others when what is lost has now been found. The coin and the sheep are missing. Keep in mind that the coin at one time was in the purse, and the sheep at one time was in the fold. Then they weren't. That's how we know they are missing. What happened? Mistakes were made. Procedures and protocols were somehow not followed. So now a search ensues for the coin and the sheep, and both are eventually recovered. Take a look around you right now. Who among us is missing? I'm serious. Look around for just a moment. Who used to fill the seats around you that are now vacant? Now, it is summer, and numbers historically do go down a little bit in summer, but that's not the point. Dig deep and remember the names and the faces of the ones you long to see again. The first step in finding those that we have lost among us is to identify the ones who are missing. Okay, so you've taken a little bit of time. I hope that you have at least one face that you miss. I know I have many. But this doesn't address the problem. How was it that the coin and the sheep went missing in the first place? Do you know their story? Any idea why they've distanced themselves from being in worship? Maybe the one you are missing left when the pandemic began 2+ years ago, simply falling between the cracks amidst the noise happening in all of our lives at the time. And no one ever took the time to reach out to them. Not particularly anyone's fault, but a reality nonetheless. Maybe when they heard Mountain Vista United Methodist Church was getting a new pastor about a year ago, they were hurt by the perceived actions and intentions of others. Maybe actions that we ourselves took, however well-intended at the time. Maybe they didn't have it in them at the time to withstand one more change, getting to know a new pastor after having endured a year and a half of heartache and frustration of working from home, constantly being with all of their family members in the same space for longer than any of us ever really imagined. When the pandemic first started, I remember thinking, oh, it'll be 2 weeks. Been a lot longer than 2 weeks, friends. Some parents have been at home being teacher, among being parent, among being the only provider financially in their homes. What is their story? Gregory of Nyssa wisely said that true mercy is a voluntary sorrow that joins itself to the suffering of another. Maybe the person on your heart today has fallen out of the habit of coming to the church, and they've, in a sense, forgotten the joy of being with their church family. Maybe they, in fact, are still connecting through the gift of technology, and you haven't been in touch to know this. We, after all, have for the better part of 2 years been connecting online with many people. Maybe you don't know that, and that's okay. Some in our community still feel the danger of the global pandemic. Fear's all too real for people who can't afford to get sick right now. You won't know the reason that they aren't here unless you reach out, friends. The church's mission certainly involves recovering those who are missing and have lost their way. The ones who don't know the hope of Jesus Christ. But the church must also provide a place of safety for those within its fold. As we look to our future and discern who we are being called to be as the people called Mountain Vista United Methodist Church, we must ask ourselves some tough questions. Do some people approach the church and find the doors are closed to them? Have we told people that there is hope in Jesus Christ, but only if they meet certain criteria first, thus in a sense opening the door to them, but shutting it before they're even able to set foot in the door? Do some find that they're not welcome and are driven from the church feeling unwanted? Have we really taken the time to get to know the interests, talents, dreams, and longings of those in our flock? Does the church adequately address the needs of all of its constituents? Have we made the mistake of assuming that we know what others need rather than simply asking them what they need, and thus unintentionally becoming irrelevant? This parable challenges the church to reevaluate how it's taking care of its coins and its sheep. I asked you earlier to look around you for the people who are missing. As you depart today, we have some note cards. I have a lot of them. I have a whole lot of them. And I can get more. I know where the source comes from. But as you go out today, I have some note cards, and I invite you to take them home with you. Reach out to the people that you've been missing. If you know their situation, offer them the hope and encouragement that they need. If you do not know what's happening for them, I encourage you to simply let them know that you have thought of them and that you hope to see them in church again soon. Offer to meet for coffee or a walk or invite them over for dinner. If writing a note card isn't your thing, try calling them on the phone instead. I encourage you to not be embarrassed by the amount of time that it has taken you since you last reached out to them. The simple act of reaching out will begin. It won't automatically recover, but it will begin to bridge the gap and to heal whatever wounds have been inflicted. Do not underestimate the power of a real apology either. I'm sorry that I haven't reached out until now. I could have done better, and I want to do better going forward. Will you forgive me? In my former congregation, I served as the youth pastor. Every summer, our youth group made a mission trip after the school year ended. We would travel to another city, spend several days working in the community, and at the end of our trip, we would go on to do some fun activity. By the end of each mission trip, as we would pack up and head home, we were inevitably faced with a large pile of unclaimed items. Clothing, personal items, jewelry, CDs when they were still a thing, cell phones. Yes, believe it or not, I came across more cell phones than I can care to count. And some of them never got claimed for some reason. Food, sports equipment. Why you need sports equipment on a mission trip is beyond me, but one time I did acquire a football helmet. Don't know, still nobody claimed it, but sports equipment. Lots and lots of stuff waiting to be claimed. It was like a mission trip lost and found. So we'd go through the items one by one, holding them up and asking for the rightful owner to claim them. The more valuable items are snapped up, usually, by their owners. But many less precious things end up either back at the church or sometimes, sadly, in the trash can. Beloved church, as I close today, one thing is for certain. Not a single person in this world, not one person that has ever been created or ever will be created, is trash. No one, no matter how mud-stained or torn or worn, no matter how old or young, rich or poor, knowledgeable or uninformed, not a single person is trash. Like the kid who dives headfirst into the trash bin in order to find his retainer because he's accidentally thrown it away for the third time that school year and his mother is going to kill him? I've been there. We should be actively seeking the people who are missing from our midst. God stops at no cost in order to bring us back to God's presence. God calls us in the midst of the calm and the chaos, cheering us on when we recognize the presence of God in our lives. God is full of grace and mercy and love and kindness and caring and compassion, boundlessly full. Furthermore, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to humanity and empowered us to be the church and be the outpouring of grace and mercy and love and kindness and caring and compassion that Jesus exemplified in his lifetime. We are now given the keys to the kingdom and asked to invite others in. We aren't charged with being the gatekeepers and the judging who gets in, beloved church. That's a really, really, really hard job, and I'm so glad that I don't have to be the gatekeeper. Instead, our job is very simple. Show others the way to the hope and the new life in Jesus Christ. Invite them in to participate in the life-changing, life-transforming action of God's love. If someone is on your heart today and you miss seeing them here at church, when you leave this place, I believe that it is God's message and nudge to you to reach out to them. Don't wait till tomorrow, because you'll have something else on your mind tomorrow. The laundry will need to be done. The floor will need to be swept. The appointment will need to be made. Leave here today and reach out to that person. If the same person receives, I don't know, 50 or so calls, I don't know how many people are in here, I'm really bad at counting, but if the same person receives 50 calls, I can tell you, next week, they are going to be here because they are not going to want to get 50 calls ever again. I mean, they're going to be delighted that they got 50 calls from their beloved church, but they're also not going to want to be on the phone all day. That's not the point, though. They are going to feel the love and the kindness and the compassion of their church. If every single one of you seeks the same person, that's okay. But I guarantee you, if you don't mention who you're thinking of to anybody else, if you just reach out to them, I almost guarantee you we will reach, I don't know, roughly 50 people, 40 to 50 people. If you have more than that, do it. You can reach out to as many as you want. If someone is on your heart and you are missing seeing them in church, I believe it's God's message and nudge to you to reach out to them. Reach out and let them know that you see that they have been missing and that church is incomplete. It is incomplete without them here. Church is incomplete without them here. Never, ever underestimate the power of relationship in extending welcome or welcome back to others. Never, ever underestimate the importance of your church family. What's the deal with church anyway, you ask? It's largely about community. Amen.